Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
This story came down just a couple hours ago, and baseball fans, huddle up. New York Post, Joel Sherman, he's a newsbreaker. You see him on MLB Network on a regular basis. Posted this 2 hours ago. Headline, MLB plotting playoff expansion with reality TV twist. Okay. Imagine a team picking its playoff opponent. Think about Brian Cashman and the Yankees deciding whether to face a Red Sox or avoid them in the first round of the postseason, all on live TV. Well, it is probably coming soon to the major leagues. MLB is seriously weighing a move from 5 to 7 playoff teams in each league beginning in 2022, the Post has learned. In this concept, the team with the best record in each league would receive a bye to avoid the wild card round and go directly to the division series. The two other division winners and the wild card with the next best record would each host all three games in a best of three wild card round. So the bottom three wild cards would have no first round home games. The division winner with the second best record in a league would then get the first pick of its opponent from those lower three wild cards. Then the other division winners would pick, leaving the last two wild cards to play each other. So you add two playoff teams in each league, go from 5 to 7, 10 teams to 14 teams, and then you have this draft. And the best record in each league gets a bye. I mean, there's multiple ways to look at this. One complaint I keep hearing is, well, it's a league of have and haves nots. Well, now the number one have in each league doesn't even have to play in the first round. It's a short series. You want to say anything can happen in the playoffs? How about now in a best of three? How do you feel about that now? I love the draft concept. Love it. So this is what we're talking about. If you're worried, oh, well, a team that's really not that good or doesn't deserve to be in would be then in the postseason then. So if you added two more from each league in 2019, Cleveland is in with 93 and Boston is in with 84. But remember, the Yankees had the second best record in the American League last year, so they would have had the first draft pick. Do you think they would have taken the worst team? Boston, there's no way they're picking the Red Sox to play in that best of three. Also last year, the Mets would have been in the playoffs. The Mets is a playoff team with 86 wins, Diamondbacks with 85, and the Cubs would have missed it by one game. Or would they have? Because if they were playing for something down the final stretch, maybe they win another game or two. 2018. American League, Tampa Bay would be in with 90, Seattle 89. Man, problem with that. National League, St. Louis 88. And for that very last wildcard spot, Washington and Arizona would have been tied at 82. Barely above 500, and you're making the playoffs. That would have been the case in 2018. That's what we've seen over the last couple of years. Love the draft. I actually like that the two teams that dominated the regular season the most are being rewarded. But the one thing that bothers me is, as a longtime baseball fan, you could say, hey, you've got to earn your way in. You really have to earn your way in. This is not the NHL, 16 teams out of 31 are in. This is not the NBA, 16 out of 30 are in. Now you're kind of in that range. up to 14 teams getting in. But try things.
It's 46% of the league would get in at that point.
Is that too much for you?
I think so. Like, I'm for letting more teams in. I don't know about
Cleveland missing it at 93 last year. Kind of, they should have been in. But yeah, what are you going to do?
I know. I guess, like, I wouldn't mind them letting a couple more teams in. Like, so let in 12, right?
Oh, you one wild card for each league.
Yeah. I'd be all right with that.
And so then you get rid of the bye.
Yeah.
Forget that idea.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan. So, yeah, that's. I think I'd be okay with that.
Go to 12 instead of 14.
Yeah.
What do you think, Chen?
I like having more teams. I think that it gives teams opportunity to, like, get in. And like you said,
it seems even more wide open
it's
now.
It's just a crapshoot when you get in the playoffs. So why not? Everybody loves the Cinderella story.
See, it isn't. Because people said, see, it's a crapshoot. You just have to win and get in. But nobody denied that Washington had top five talent.
That's true.
All season. They just had an awful start to the year. I mean, they had the best rotation. They had one of the best lineups going. So, yeah, you could say, oh, they didn't have a great season. Look at them. At one point in the year, they were like 35 or 40 to 1. It was ridiculous. But they always had the talent. The depth on that roster, just amazing. One year you lose Bryce Harper. Next year you lose Rendon. And I still think they're going to be in the mix in the NL East. That's how talented they are. I wouldn't hate it. I would not hate it. Now, here's what's going to happen. We're going to get that year where an 81-81 team gets in, and people are going to be mad about that. Kind of like when you have a 9-7 team with the 4 seed in the NFL playoffs. People get really upset about that, which I kind of understand.
But they won the division, though. It's not their fault the rest
NFC
of the division is terrible.
Dallas, Philly, fighting it out. I'm all for change because baseball needs the younger generation. Anything that can generate some sort of excitement, I'm down for that. I don't have a problem with it. And if the Cubs are actually relevant, even though, Mike Chen, you would have been all upset about it because you wanted the Cubs season over a month before it ended because you wanted Joe Maddon gone.
That's right.
I understood where you were coming from because we all knew exactly what was going to happen. But, I would not mind it at all. Generate some excitement for the playoffs, even more so. Because what happens that time of the year anyways? Everyone's jumping to football. Unless your team is in the playoffs, you're jumping ship. Unless you're a baseball diehard or your team's in, you're probably out on a Thursday night or a Monday night or certainly Sunday and probably a Saturday for college football.
And I like the fact that they're getting rid of that one game wild card. Have it series. Baseball's all about series. And the majority of series that you play during the regular season, 3-4 games. 3 is perfect number to get that wild card just going.
Here's a concern I kind of have with that, Mike. That's a good point about that. Instead of just getting rid of the coin flip, because what do we hear these executives talk about again and again? Well, you want to avoid the coin flip game. That's why the division's so important. Now, does winning the division lose its importance if you just get in? I mean, playing on the road in baseball, that's not a huge deal. You could overcome that. You could win that series. So will some of those teams, if you know you're not going to have the best record in your league, are you going to make the big over-the-top move at the trade deadline? Are you going to spend as much money as you probably should? Nobody's going to be touching that luxury tax, right? Because now, almost half the teams are getting in baseball. But I think it would generate more excitement in October, and I'm all for that. I'm all for that.
Yeah, the game has to get younger. It has no choice right now. I mean, the average viewer's in their mid-50s, and having something like what they're talking about, like reality show style, that's going to get the young viewers. That's what baseball needs.
Well, and something else baseball's dealing with right now, I started the segment with the haves and the have-nots. Does this eliminate some of that? You always have the randomness in baseball, but you let some of the teams closer to the middle in. Or, you know, you could look at it the other way, too. I'm just throwing out all the different scenarios. maybe teams, you'd have more teams in at the deadline because, hey, we have a chance at that last wild card or that second to last wild card. So we're going to trade. We're going to add instead of just selling. You have to be really bad to sell at July 31 if you don't have a shot at being one of those 14 teams in the playoffs. I'm intrigued by it. I think it's worth exploring for damn sure. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767, text 67011, tweets at Joe 0670. Joe in St. Charles, you're on 670 The Score.
You know what? What you guys are describing to me is nothing more than another money grab. Because you know what? Crummy teams don't deserve to be in there. Wild card weekend in the NFL. That first weekend, it's pretty good. You know, pretty worth watching. But the teams that win those games, no chance. NBA, okay. They got like a million guys that make the playoffs, and you got one against eight. No, but how many times has an eighth place team or whatever, eighth seed in the NBA ever win a playoff series?
Joe, I think you're right, but I think you're also comparing apples and oranges. The NBA, for the most part, the best teams always win the title game, but you didn't bring up hockey. What about hockey? You have teams like St. Louis come out of nowhere. They're firing their coach midseason. They make their way to the playoffs, and then they win a cup.
Well, you know what? Way back, you know, I'm an old guy, but when I was a really, really little kid, back in the when it was like the original six, it used to be that, like, Toronto Maple Leafs, they would just coast all things, just get to four. And that guy would, I forget what that coach's name was, but they would, like, coast, and then they would, like, wail in the playoffs. But that's different than what we're talking about now. It's, yeah, just let the best play the best.
All right, thank you, Joe. Appreciate the phone call. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Checking out the text line from the 847. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Sounds like a recipe to play baseball into November for cold weather cities. Yeah, I'm not down for that. Uh-uh. Some are bringing up going to 154 games if you do this. Sign me up. Yes, go from 162 to 154, eliminate eight regular season games. Then instead of the wild card, you have a best of three.
Well, if you're doing it that way and you're adding in more games at the end of the season, I don't understand why baseball...
You're adding two games.
I get that. But like all throughout the regular season, teams play minimum five games a week.
Yeah.
More like six, sometimes seven.
Right.
I don't understand in the playoffs why they take such long breaks. I mean, I understand playing
Trouble.
A back-to-back and then taking playing a back-to-back and then taking a travel day to play a couple of back-to-backs.
All year they travel and play the
next
day.
Exactly. So I don't understand
why
the playoffs...
And the Cubs, night games to day games sometimes.
Right. I don't get why they have to change that in the playoffs.
Yeah. No, they drag it out way too much.
Exactly.
No, I'm with you. And if they can, they should try to condense the season a little bit when they're going into November. I mean, my God, it in some ways it doesn't even feel like the same game. But how do you fix that? Because they're out there with the hoodies and the gloves on in March and April, and then you end the season and they're doing the exact same thing.
I mean, you could go by NBA proposal and have a mid-season weird playoff, but that doesn't work either.
Yeah, we're just talking, if you're just jumping in the car now, we're talking about this report from the New York Post. For the 2022 season, MLB is talking about this new playoff format, seven teams in from each league. The number one seed in each league, AL and NL, would get a bye. But not only that, so the number two seed, they're playing that first round. They choose the opponent. They pick which wild card team that they want to face. 815, love the idea. They can add a couple day-night doubleheaders to shorten the regular season. Yeah, I don't think the owners will go for that one. I'd love to see it. But also, keep in mind, you also have to deal with rainouts. So the Cubs, over the last, definitely a couple of years ago, they had, remember that summer we had so much rain And then they had games. It was regular basis. 20 days in a row they were playing. It was nuts. Mike in Pilsen, you're on 670, The Score with Joe Ostrowski. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, so I love the idea of the one seed's picking their opponent. That's amazing to me. But yeah, what I don't like is adding more teams, because what you're doing is you're diluting the regular season, and you're making games that are already almost unwatchable seem even less important. So I think that's a huge issue that no one's really talking about.
Yeah. So for years and years, the old baseball fan would say you can't shorten the regular season. You can't change the number of games because of the records. Well, PEDs threw all that out the window. That's long gone, guys. So I don't even think that's an argument anymore. I definitely think they need to shorten the season. Definitely. But how do you sell it to the owners? Less gate, less concessions. That's the big rub. What do you do there? Now, if I tell you, okay, your team might host a playoff round for three games, you know how much money you're going to make in those three games? You won't be worried about those missing those eight games at all.
I mean, technically, if you're the lower seed, you only get one then, correct? Because the higher seed would get two home games and the lower seed gets one. Is that right?
No, it's all three. All three in one location.
Okay. Best then I misread
well, if
that.
There
okay.
are three games, it could be two games. So you don't have the travel, Mike, and you can play those three games in a row. I assume that's how they would handle it. So they're really not extending the season that much. Because don't we have AL wild card one day, NL wild card one day, then another off day, then you start the playoffs? Knock that out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Playoffs Thursday. Or just move it all back one day. How much drama would that be? One for the end of the regular season, the last day on that Sunday, and then you have the drama of the draft. And what do you do if there's a tie for the last wildcard spot, for spot number 7 in each league? They would have had a tie a couple of years ago, Washington, Arizona, when they each had 82 wins.
I'm going to suggest a three-man sack race.
You're a Sox fan. Which guy would you pick on the Sox? Yomer, that's like cheating.
He's not there anymore.
Sign Yomer. But I'm saying, like, they would probably sign him back if the sack race was in play.
Oh, absolutely. That'd be like cheating. He would be the most coveted free agent for that weekend.
Can managers do it? Because David Ross would do it, and he'll break an ankle or something.
Yeah, that would be fun to watch.
Which Cub would you pick for the sack race?
Javi, that seems like he's as good at everything.
No.
Why not?
You can't have one of your best players do the sack race. If he gets injured doing that,
Elmora. But you got to get in, right?
Elmora.
You got to get in.
I don't care if he gets hurt. Elmora.
But Schwarber for the fun factor.
That would be funny. He's in the wheelbarrow race. How about you play war?
Thing. Do like 10 events or something like that.
Yeah. Home run derby. Oh, man.
No, let's do non-baseball stuff.
Let's do home run derby. You want to do non-baseball?
Yeah, non-baseball stuff will be
okay,
fun.
Okay, what else you do? Dunk tank?
That's still kind of baseball, though.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're throwing a baseball. Okay. Well, what do you want to do? Basketball? Hockey?
Yes, that would be really cool for them to go cross-sport to see how good of an athlete they are.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea. The first injury. Was it Robert Edwards, the Patriots running back, when they were playing football in the sand?
Yeah.
And he returned, but he was never the same. And they got rid of that, of doing that. Oh, George is here. Oh, great. Joe Ostrowski with you. Phone lines open 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. St. Louis Post-Dispatch over the weekend, they said that Chris Bryant's disgruntled. We'll talk about that on the other side. You've got The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
We've got the Joe O Show 670. The Score, bottom of the hour, brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Remaining home opponents include Illinois, Penn State, Minnesota. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale now at NUSports.com. Maybe you missed this over the weekend, and you probably did. Why would you be checking out the St. Louis Post-Dispatch? Here's a headline. I believe this was Friday. Was it Friday or Saturday? I believe Friday. Headline from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. It's time for Cubs to auction off disgruntled Chris Bryant. This is by Jeff Gordon. He's one of their baseball guys. He writes a lot of columns just about the teams in the area, not just the Cardinals, just to give you an idea why he would write that. He went over a bunch of potential landing spots for Bryant if the Cubs do pull off a trade. Mentioned the Braves, also the Nationals. Rangers got Todd Frazier. They could still add since they're looking for a bat. Hey, how about trading him to the Rockies? We've talked about that a million times to Nolan Arenado. And let's go to the middle of his column. He writes, once a team comes to loggerheads with a talent this significant, it either must broker peace or move on. Since peace does not seem to be an option here, the Cubs need to move on, or Bryant's temporary status will remain one of the team's regular talking points. Yeah, welcome to our world, Jeff Gordon. So the headline says it's time for the Cubs to auction off disgruntled Chris Bryant. And you would think that's an editor looking for some clicks here, because nowhere in the column does he go into detail citing why Bryant is disgruntled. So we've got the Bryant thing hanging over. We heard from Wilson Contreras just before 7 o'clock. I played some audio from him. I wouldn't say he's disgruntled. He'd like to sign an extension. We don't know what's going to happen. What we do know right now, today, the Cubs have 3 years of control over Contreras, 2 years with Bryant, 2 years Rizzo, two years Javi. Javi Baez, we've heard about contract talks, multiple different outlets reporting this, but we haven't seen anything happen. And now we're hearing Anthony Rizzo get a little frustrated, too. He has 2 years left on his deal, as I just mentioned. Now, when I think of Rizzo, first, you have the team leader aspect. But for that stretch of 2014 to 2017, over those 4 years, as consistent as it gets, 31 homers, 32 homers, 31 or 32, all 4 years. But has he taken a dip over the last couple of years? Doesn't have as much power. His WAR numbers have gone down a little bit. But this past year in 2019, he did bounce back to his 2017 form. I don't think there's any way the Cubs trade Rizzo. I don't think anyone has even suggested that. And we say, how are they going to break up the core four? I think it's pretty obvious once you start whittling this thing down. probably believe that they can get an extension with Contreras or trade him. That one's probably up in the air. But there's this assumption in town that Bryant's the guy they're going to trade because they're not moving Rizzo. And they view Baez as the MVP. He's a fan favorite. They're trying to work out a deal there. So he's probably not going anywhere. Wow. What if it's a little, it's obviously different than the Betts situation because that's a one-year thing. What if you wake up tomorrow and you hear Javi Baez is traded? This Cubs Nation would flip. But as far as Rizzo goes, so if I'm the Cubs, I'm doing the exact same thing. Why would you be in a rush to extend Anthony Rizzo to this lifetime Cub contract? Doesn't make any sense to me. You have him for two more years. His numbers of the last 2 years, not as strong as during the prime of his career, right? And that makes sense. That's completely normal. So last year, though, you have, if you're into Fangraphs War, he was 4.0. It's tied for fourth among all first basemen, tied with Freddie Freeman, only behind Pete Alonso, Max Muncy, Carlos Santana. I kind of think the Cubs are going to take a page out of the Sox book on this one. I don't think Rizzo wants to go anywhere, just like Abreu didn't want to go anywhere. And you're just going to play it out, and then they'll sign him to a deal he deserves. Will it be 3 for $50? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen the next 2 years, but I don't see why the Cubs would have to jump the gun right now. Why not let him play it out? And once that contract's up, Rizzo's going to be entering his age 32 season. Now, even though he had a bounce back year in 2019, and he had that heroic comeback at the end of the season, anytime you need a spark in the lineup, he's your leadoff guy, and they'll roll with that for a week or two. It happens every single year. They end up pushing that button. But why not wait? What's the downside in waiting? That's what I would do. And so now, as guys are starting to show up for camp, pitchers and catchers for right now, officially reporting tomorrow, all this trade talk is going to kick into high gear again. But I agree with the Cubs on this Rizzo one. There's no need to do it. Okay, let's wait another year, see what he is. There are some people that believe that anybody can play first base. It's a matter of, is the bat still there? So if you're regressing a little bit right now, what are you going to be in two more years? I'd play that one out. Not 27, not 28. I think you play that one out. So I don't have an issue with how the Cubs are playing this right now. Rizzo's been quoted as saying it's as cutthroat as ever before, saying, hey, we have a guy that was MVP a couple of years ago. Why aren't we trying to win a championship? So he's outspoken, and I think that's important. And now his buddy David Ross is going to be the manager of the team. I'm really intrigued by the tone of Mesa, what this Cubs camp is going to sound like, what guys are willing to say on the record. And Brian has not spoken. He told the media out in Vegas, he's like, you know, out of respect for Chicago media, I'm not going to comment on any of this until I get to camp. But going back to that headline, disgruntled Chris Bryant, I don't think it applies here. I really don't.
Does the guy even get mad? I mean, seriously. Have you ever seen Chris Bryant angry about anything?
Is it because he lost the grievance? I'm assume people are probably assume that he's disgruntled, but I don't buy it at all.
No, his tone of voice when he spoke with the media out in Vegas for that celebrity event, he seemed fine. I mean, we have the audio.
Fine.
He didn't seem like it was really that big of a deal.
Why don't you play it, if you can find it real quick, Mike.
Chris, what are your takeaways from the grievance process that just wrapped up?
You know what? I guess out of respect for the Chicago media there, I didn't get a chance to talk to him during the Cubs Fan Fest there because I had the flu. I'm going to wait till spring training to answer any of those questions. So I'm sorry I can't answer those here. But certainly there will be quotes out there in a couple weeks.
Remember the flu thing was the story for a day. He doesn't really have the flu. They're worried about what he's going to say. He's too nice. He's too honest. I don't think it applies at all. Well, let's say it did.
And yeah, how about the respect of him saying, out of fairness to the Chicago media, like, good, what a guy. Saying
yeah.
He wants to talk to the Chicago media first. I like that.
That's his hometown people, too.
Was it? Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's saying, hey, yeah. I
probably
talk
a lot
to
of
Chicago
people
first.
That have covered him since he was in high school.
That's the kind of guy that some fans are running out of town. That's who,
somewhere.
That's who you don't want.
Somewhere. My guess, it's just a process of elimination. They don't want Baez to go. They don't want to lose Rizzo. Contreras has 3 more years, and if you don't have him, who's catching this rotation? So I think then it's Bryant. Then they're looking for reasons to dislike him. And I think that's where some fans have landed. I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
Looking for reasons to dislike the most likable guy on the team.
It's crazy to me. It's nuts.
Madness.
It's nuts. I went on my rant last week about the Red Sox and how the Cubs are in a somewhat similar position. They can cry poor all they want. The Red Sox can cry poor. They're not signing Mookie Betts. They're trading him away because they don't want to sign him, because they don't want to pay him. Cubs are doing the same thing. If they move on, if they trade Bryant, it means they don't want to pay the guy. That's what it comes down to. I don't see how you could look at it any other way. Here, I saw this out of Boston. I thought this was hilarious because you know they're freaking out about the trade of Mookie Betts. It's from the account Savage Boston Sports. 1, John Henry's Fenway Sports Group is worth $6.6 billion. 2, Red Sox made $550 million in revenue in 2018. 3, a Red Sox game for a family of 4 costs an average of $500. 4, a 12-ounce Bud Light costs $12. 5, they can't afford to sign Mookie Betts.
I don't know where they're going to get the money from.
They don't want to. They've made up their mind. Boy, we need something better than a second or third round draft pick for Mookie Betts, so we've got to get rid of him. Let's completely punt on the season. And maybe the Cubs will end up doing the same thing. Now, of these core 4 guys, we know the situations with all of them. We've just gone over them. Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, and Contreras. Do you think any of them should be disgruntled? Any of them? I don't think Bryant is. Does he have a case? Maybe. Going back to his rookie year. Maybe. Baez, he's hearing they want to extend the contract. Set him up for life. Cub for life. That's very important to some people. Nothing's getting done. Rizzo sounds more disgruntled than any of them. And maybe he is for everything he sacrificed. And Contreras, he hopes an extension gets done. This would be the time of the year, he says. But nothing's happening quite yet. Any of that core 4, should they be disgruntled? As the St. Louis Post-Dispatch says, Chris Bryant is. 312-644-6767. Text 67011. Tweets at Joe0670. You've got Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Copy!
This hour on The Score brought to you by the Exogen Temporal Scanner. 30 million people come down with the flu every year. It could be you or your family. The best way to tell if it's a cold or the flu is by taking your temperature, and no one does that better than the Exogen Temporal Scanner. Learn more, exogen.com. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score, talking about the Cubs. They're starting to show up in camp. Pitchers and catchers reporting officially tomorrow. Over the weekend, St. Louis Post-Dispatch says Chris Bryant's the disgruntled Chris Bryant. I don't think we have any evidence of that, but maybe you could make the case that some of the core 4 should be, and they have a right to be. Between Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, and Contreras. After the comments they made at the end of the season, I don't know how you can just walk it all back. That hanging over their head. So if nobody is dealt, you don't shake this lineup in any way. You have another year of this? Why should anyone expect it to change? Why would the results change at all? probably shouldn't. And the rotation is just getting older and older. And the bullpen, I don't know. Maybe some of it will work. Maybe. And then move on from the guys that don't, except for Craig Kimbrel. Got to keep him. But if they keep all four guys, okay, the offense was broken, I thought, with these guys, or with the other pieces, which they didn't add anything to. They didn't supplement the rest of the lineup either. They kept saying the offense is broken, the offense is broken. And if they don't make a move before the season starts, these players are going to be asked about it every single day. You worried about getting traded? Oh, you got off to a hot start. Maybe your value's up. You think you're going to get traded? Have they said anything to you about that? Like, it isn't enough with a brand new manager in town. Taking over for Joe Maddon, the guy that was the skipper when the 108 years finally ended. 312-644-6767. Mike in Orland Park. You're on The Score with Joe Ostrowski.
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller. Love the show. I'd just like to take a minute and go back to the playoff format proposal.
Sure.
Totally interesting. I love the whole Cinderella story, as you mentioned, but I think back to the Cubs back in 2018 and just how exhausted they were. This new format would give those lower seed teams some more time to play. Mm-hmm. But my question or thought, something to incorporate into this new format would potentially be using the All-Star game and allowing the league winner, be it AL or NL, and allowing the winner to choose, you know, the other league's format. So it could be who plays who for the, the 2-6 seeds or choose.
You pick the match 2-7?
Yeah, so allowing the other league to actually choose who that losing league plays against.
Mike, so I'm assuming that you are a fan of home field for the winner of the All-Star game then?
Yes.
Okay. Because that's where we would strongly disagree, man. Appreciate the phone call. Always welcome new callers here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. But yeah, I hated that. It's an exhibition. I hated that it meant anything. So I understand why baseball completely went away from that. But that's interesting that came to mind. And there are some people that are actually missing that a little bit. Overall, I like it. But the topic that we'll all be sick of, rust versus rust. Not Russ, rust. They had that last T there. That'll be ridiculous. But hey. Why would resting your entire rotation really kill you just for a few extra days? But you never know. There'll be a lot of people talking about it. Greg in Tinley Park, you're on The Score. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Joe. How's it going tonight?
Hey, doing well.
Good. Hey, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but Bryant's got to stay. I mean, you and I talked about this before. They are insane if they get rid of him. Contreras, I think he's the guy if they want some trade value. That he's the guy. Unfortunately, that has to be the guy to go. You can't get rid of Baez. You don't want to get rid of Rizzo. So I think out of the core four or five, he's the one that's got to go.
Greg, don't you think though? I think that situation's a little different because Contreras is the catcher. Don't you have to do that move, I don't know, yesterday if you're going to move a catcher and a new team, he's going to get acclimated with a whole new rotation?
Well, he's got spring training to do it. I mean, we got Carantini. I like him. I mean, he's not the defensive whiz that Contreras is.
Yeah.
And I know we got supposedly, I know it's on paper, this young kid in the minors that's only 20 years old. He's supposed to be a dynamite defensive player and potentially a decent stick, too. So I'm just looking, if I'm Theo and Jed, that's the guy I got to look to, get something for. So
Thanks, Greg. Always appreciate it. And Greg's referring to Miguel Amaya. They're expecting him to be ready for the majors 2021. According to most, he's their best prospect. The problem is he's in the lower levels. Was he high A last year? So how fast can he get through double A? That's a big question. I don't think he's expected to be ready this year. So maybe use someone else as a bridge, like he mentioned Caratini. I do wonder, because when all of these other guys we're talking about, Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, they all have 2 years of control. And then there's Contreras, 3 full years of control. So how much does that hike up his value? Have teams seen enough? Okay, I'm all in. And he could play the outfield too. If you're an American League team, catchers need their rest, but he can be our DH once a week. So he's saving his legs a little bit. He's just going to hit. Maybe an AL team would give up more. That would certainly make a lot of sense. I would think they need to take care of this soon. This is going to be this. There are two storylines that are going to take over Cubs camp. And one of them has to do with the players. One doesn't. The one that does is obviously this. Okay, how are you breaking up the core four? Are you really going to? Where are the suitors? What are they willing to offer? Is it going to be a better offer than the Red Sox got for Mookie Betts? Nonstop, in your face. Little bit about David Ross being the new manager. What's going to change now that Madden's gone? Little bit there. Then, the big one that I care about a lot, and I'm sure some of you do, are you going to be on Comcast? Because why am I investing time? Why am I investing money into you if I can't watch the games? If I can only watch the national games, Sunday night baseball, Saturday night baseball when they're on Fox? You said this was going to be great for me. All the games are going to be in one place. But that one place isn't on my guide. That's kind of a problem. 312-644-6767. Hey, Mike, did we have Tommy Hotovy from today?
Yeah, we're putting it in
okay,
right now.
Okay, we don't quite have it yet. We'll get to Tommy Hotovy, the Cubs pitching coach, a regular during the season on the Mully and Haw show. Hope to hear from him again. His rotation, you talk about some pressure. Does Hotovy have more pressure than David Ross? I don't think that's outlandish to say. So, publicly, he won't get the same pressure. It'll all be about David Ross. Look at his lineups. Do the players like him? All that stuff. But look at what he has to work with. At the top of the rotation, as long as they're healthy, you feel good about Hendricks and Darvish. Not great. You feel good. But at this point, you're expecting more of a downslide from John Lester. Is Quintana going to take another step back? Or can he be more consistent? And right now, sitting here in February, they're slotting in Tyler Chatwood as the five starter. When Chatwood, you're five, once the injuries start to come, that's not going to be pretty. Maybe that five will go to Mills or Alzolay, somebody else. But Hotovy, their guy, front office's guy, right? He's going to be working on the back end of that rotation. And then you get to the bullpen. Okay, Kimbrel's your closer. You're actually walking into a season with a closer unlike 1 year ago. No idea how anyone else slots into that bullpen. No clue. Chen, do we know? Do we have an idea of an eighth inning guy? And I don't need to go Ned Yost on you seventh, eighth, ninth. But when I say eighth inning guy, I say, who's the second best reliever that you have out there?
One of the Wicks? I mean, they're the only one.
I don't know which one, though. In this conversation, it's really the best reliever. Because typically, the best reliever is your closer, but you can't tell me that Kimbrel's your best reliever.
Not after what he did last year. No way.
Oh, you mean the worst year of his career?
I don't even know if I'm comfortable with him in the ninth.
Well, he's going to be.
I know that, but still.
Please have a hot start so they can trade you. Get out of here. I mean, what are we doing here? They're clearly taking a step back. That's how misguided that signing was. That they pushed all in. They spent every last dollar that they had on Kimbrel. Guy without a camp. And now you start the next season, you're like, yeah, we're not really going for it this year. And we're paying every last dollar we have, or at least that they say they have, for the baseball budget on Craig Kimbrel. Just about toast. I think every day I wake up, I have a worse opinion about this team. Like, nothing has changed.
It's going to be like this all the way until opening day. Nothing. It's going to get worse and worse.
Doesn't it
worse.
Feel that way? Like, we wake up and, oh, wait, now they're going to be in fifth place. I've heard people tell me that. Like, no, they'll be in fifth and the Pirates will be in fourth.
No way.
No, the Pirates are a 100-loss team.
That's correct.
They're brutal. But fourth place isn't...
Not out of the question.
It's in play.
It's 100% in play.
I still think it's unlikely, but it's in play.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then which team's in fourth?
The Reds, I guess. Maybe. I don't know.
They're the hot team.
Not the Reds.
Here, I'll say this, though, Studs, to your point.
Brewers.
My history as a gambler, you want to avoid the hot teams. The hot teams going into the NFL season were the Bears and the Browns. What happened? Up in flames.
We all knew the Browns were going to go up in flames. That's just.
I mean. It's not what I heard over the summer.
You know what you heard? Not, but what do you really think that was
going to
work?
No, I never did.
Yeah, I didn't either. But I said all summer they were a powder keg. Like, they're just.
What'd you say about the Bears?
Oh, well, obviously I'm a little biased towards that one. But no, the reason that the Bears weren't a powder keg because they didn't have all these dynamic personalities just being shoved onto a team and said, okay, go win games.
Well, yeah, we had a head coach that thought the only issue on the team was a kicker.
Yes, exactly. Much different situation.
Well, I think
they still were better than the Browns.
I think it's a little comparable because the two teams getting all the love this offseason, Reds and White Sox.
Well, the White Sox are winning the division, Joe.
I want to believe you, but the Twins got better. I think they'll be in the mix. It might be a little bit too much. But they're going to be relevant. So welcome back, as far as that goes. So that'll be fun to watch. Just watch out. I'm a little worried. Too much love nationally. Everybody all in. Reds, too. I'm not calling Cubs fourth place. I just think it's a possibility. And if you trade Bryant, it's definitely a possibility. But there's a lot of Reds love out there. And I don't know when the last time they won something significant. Like Dusty Baker's the skipper. And that's a lot of regular season
Chris
wins.
Chris Sabo is running around.
Oh, now you're going way back. Shen, you're going to show our age here in a moment. Those teams are fun, though.
They were. The Nasty
Eric Davis.
Boys. Woo, the Nasty Boys.
Oh, you're talking about personality. You'll never see anything like that. Yeah. That was a fun, fun team. That is a baseball town. They're big on high school football. You know, the Bengals are just so irrelevant. I mean, every city loves their NFL team, but that's one of the few cities in the country where baseball just completely takes over. Don't bring up Pete Rose over there. Get really, really mad if you bring up Pete Rose. Philip Rivers is a free agent. Some of you think the Bears are a quarterback away. Quarterback away from what? I'm not sure. But Philip Rivers is available at the age of 38. In fact, there are a lot of quarterbacks available, and the Bears need a big-time upgrade. Let's talk about their options next. Joe Ostrowski with you. You've got the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.